All right, we're going to go ahead and get started here in the media center. We have now been joined by Justin Allgaier, driver of the number 7 Junior Motorsports Chevrolet. Justin, I heard you've been here quite a bit this week. You visited Brandt headquarters in Springfield, Illinois. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. Oh, that's loud. We had a lot of fun this week, being able to go up to the Brandt headquarters. Dale Jr., Kelly Earnhardt Miller, Wyatt Miller all got to go up and hang out for the day and sign some autographs and had show car on display, had the hauler and everything. And, you know, the employees, the customers of Brandt are obviously super important to what we do, but really Central Illinois, right, where Brandt was founded and where I grew up, where Rick Brandt grew up. You know, really just the support that they've given to me my entire career, but especially, you know, into the NASCAR side of things has been just amazing. And so to be able to go back up there, I see a lot of folks that I haven't seen in a long time, but also meet a lot of new folks that have kind of started their NASCAR journeys. It's been really cool. So I probably the coolest one, though, was we did a we did an autograph session in 2009 and 2010 in Springfield, my first real two full seasons in NASCAR. And the amount of photos of young kids that met me then, that then brought them back and now they're adults and had the photos with them and had me sign it. Those are like moments for me that, you know, growing up, you could only dream for. So it was really cool to get to be able to do that. And, you know, I have been begging to get this racetrack back on the schedule for a long time now. And so the fact that we finally got it done, it's really special.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. We're going to go ahead and open it up for questions. We'll start with Lee in the front, please, and then we'll go to Bob.
Thank you. Lee Spencer, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. What does it mean to have an actual home track, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, I was just telling Campbell, you know, it's 80 miles from my doorstep to here. We literally, just driving it earlier, it was 80 miles. And, you know, it's so close. And I remember coming down here so often, whether it be racing or coming down to watch my Cardinals play, right? And or race here at Granite City that's, you know, right up the street. This racetrack has meant a lot to me. I love the facility, right? I think that the style of racing and the type of racetrack is suiting to myself, but also to what I think is going to make for a great race tomorrow night. But I also feel like, for me being this close to home, it just gives you that extra energy. You know, I remember I met Rick Brandt here in 2010, and I remember going and having breakfast with him the next morning. And then within a couple of weeks, we had put a deal together for them to be part of my racing program moving forward. And never in my wildest dreams would I have ever thought that we would get to this point. But just literally, I don't know, 50 yards from here is where I met Rick Brandt for the first time, you know, almost 16 years ago, 15 years ago. And, you know, just the journey has been absolutely incredible. And I really proud that we got this racetrack back on the schedule. So having a home race for me is important, but the meaning of this racetrack, I think, is more important.
You mentioned Tri-City, but, you know, DuCoin's not far. I mean, there's a lot of little race...
Peavey, Missouri, yeah.
Right, a lot of little racetracks in the area. What can you say to the fans out there that don't really know the grassroots effort that goes around this area in particular?
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at what is here locally, it's incredible. You know, the amount of talent, the amount of not even just drivers... when I walk through the garage area, you know, there's so many mechanics, crew chiefs, engineers that are from this area that grew up going to, you know, the Granite Cities or Tri-City, that grew up going to Peavey, Missouri, or Highland, Illinois, or St. Charles, Missouri. That's one of the first places I raced a Durley model. DuCoin for the ARCA race. You know, so many men and women that have started their journey in racing have grown up in this area. And every Friday and Saturday night is some of the best racing you'll find in the entire country. So to get NASCAR here was obviously super important. I think both rely on each other to be strong, right? We need grassroots racing, Friday, Saturday night racing to be strong. It helps elevate our sport and vice versa. I think when the sport of NASCAR is strong, it helps elevate, you know, grassroots racing. And so, you know, I love when folks get to have that crossover because, you know, we're not in this area all the time. And so when you get folks that are able to come back and forth or see a NASCAR race for the first time or go experience a dirt track race for the first time, we see it a lot with Iowa, with Knoxville, you know, other racetracks on the schedule. So it always makes a lot of fun when you can see that crossover, and makes me smile a lot whenever that happens.
We'll go to Bob and then Dustin.
I'm Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. Do the five of you who raced here in 2010
in this series have any sort of advantage?
I didn't know there was five. There's five of us?
Yeah, you, Amarola, DiBenedetto, C, and Clemens.
That's impressive. All right. I will say this. I think that you have a contingent of Truck Series drivers that are coming up through that have had experience here more recently. So I definitely think that those guys will, you know, that will be a benefit. I do think that the Truck Series trucks and the Cup Series car both race significantly different than what the Xfinity Series cars do. So, you know, I think that there's some questions there, what that will be like, how do we make it better. But, you know, the last time we were here, that we were in the old style car. And, you know, so it was very different, very unique racing. You know, we got a pole here, led a lot of laps here. Feel like I should have probably won a race here. Didn't get the chance to do that. But, you know, I just hope that the experiences here, whether it be in the ARCA series or in NASCAR, can kind of help you propel to be better or be more experienced. But there's plenty of guys in the field that, I mean, how many races has Connor shown up to this year and not had any experience and gone out and run really good or won the race? So, you know, I definitely think that we're in a day and time where technology and simulators and all of that can really help, you know, grow our sport and grow our drivers. So I don't know that there's any advantages, but I think the advantage for me this week is having that home feel and the want to go out and, you know, go to victory lane because of that.
Go ahead, Dustin.
Dustin Lemino, JSK. Justin, with how dominant Connor's in the 88 team has been over the last 3 months, where do you feel like the 7 team is entering the playoffs?
I don't know. You know, I feel like if I look back at a lot of the wins that the 88's had, we've been right there battling with them or been leading and had stuff go a disaster. So I think we've lost a lot of points. We've given a lot of points away, but I don't know this for lack of speed. I feel like the 88 team, you know, Connor has done an amazing job. Listen, to be as young as he is, to be in the situation that he's in, I don't know that I've ever seen anybody in our sport take the ball and run with it, right? You can look at even other guys that have been around, whether it be the Kyle Larsons, the Kyle Busches. I don't know that they had as strong of a start, right, that first go at it. Connor's definitely done an amazing job. And the 88 team has done a great job of executing. They brought race cars to racetrack every week that were capable of going for wins, and they've done that. So I'm mad at ourselves because we've given away so many points this year, just scenarios, parts failures, just stupid stuff. But, again, this sport is all about doing the right thing and executing whenever the time comes to it. We've not done a good job of that. So I still feel like speed-wise, when I look at raw speed, other than maybe a road course, I feel like we're right on pace with where we need to be at, and we can go run up front and battle for a win no matter where we go. So as long as we can carry that speed and we can execute, I think we're just fine in the playoffs, right? The other advantage right now is that we're starting these playoffs with a decent amount of playoff points. You know, that's not for lack of effort. You know, Jim Pohlman really puts a lot of effort into figuring out what that looks like, right? Whether it be stage wins, whether it be trying to go for wins, to build those bonus points. And then obviously the higher you are in regular season points, the more it helps you, right? So, you know, we've done a good job in that regard. So now we just have to make the most of what we have, right? It stinks that we've given away all these points. None of that really matters once the playoffs start, right? It resets and on we go. And I think you race differently in those scenarios, right? I think you can be a little more bold when you know you're locked in and you can try stuff, and you don't want it to not work out, but when it doesn't work out, you're like, okay, that was not a good choice. Let's figure out how to not do that again. And so I think that as we go forward, I think as long as we can execute in the playoffs, I think we have a great shot at making it back to Phoenix, and then from there, you got what you got.
We'll come to Dustin, the other Dustin, please.
Other Dustin.
I like it.
Dustin Square, NBC Sports. Hey, you talked about journey in reference to this track, but I want to ask you about journey in terms of your career. In your time at Junior Motorsports, a number of young drivers have come through, and obviously you are there now. As you've evolved, do you have a mentorship role? Is that not your responsibility? or is that something that you take and do these guys listen? You know, I did ask Tyler Reddick. I said, you know, what impact? And he says, well, I think Justin tried to help me in 2018, but I wasn't at a point where I was ready to listen.
Yeah. I would say that I don't know that it's my role. I don't know that Dale Jr. or Kelly or LW or anybody at our shop expects me to do that, right? That's not an ask that is given. You know, for me, when I came into the sport, right, when I started at Penske Racing, I actually felt like I had really good mentorship, right? I had great people within the walls, right? You know, Ryan Newman was there when I started. You had David Strumme. You had Kurt Busch. You had Sam Hornish. You know, all guys that I felt like all were very different in how they gave you advice or help, right? And they were all in different walks of their careers too, right? So, but I had good mentorship and I had people that I could ask questions to. I had good people in the shop. I had good engineers. I had good mechanics. I had people that had lived that journey and were probably on the verge of retirement in that moment that still were giving that information. And I think, you know, I look back on my time there and I wasn't ready to listen, right? I think that was not the demise of why I wasn't at Penske anymore, but I wish if I could go back 15 years, I would say I would do things a lot differently than I did today. And I'm a lot like my mom in the fact that I don't want to see people make the same mistakes I make, right? Or go home on an empty belly if you don't eat all your food. So, you know, I've always felt like if they want advice or if they want information, and I'll preface that by saying not everything that you tell them fits their driving style. Not everything you tell them fits their career path. You know, and look, I went to Cup. It didn't work out. Some would argue, why would you listen to somebody that didn't succeed on the opportunities that they're looking for, right? But I do feel like I've made a lot of mistakes. I've had a lot of good things happen in my career, and I've done a lot, been to a lot of places. I've raced in other countries, all kinds of fun stuff, right? So if my little bit of experience can help somebody be better, I would be crazy not to give them that help, right? And they can do with it however they want to. And you know, I do feel like I've been lucky enough now to have a couple of teammates move on and come back and say, I finally got what you were trying to tell me when we were teammates, and it makes total sense, and I'm really appreciative. I wish I would have listened a little more back then. In all reality, that's probably as important to me or more important than some of the race wins that we've had, because this sport has evolved. Listen, this sport is nothing like it was 15 years ago when you're here, right? The drivers, the teams, the cars, the style of racing. And so, you know, it's cool because I've been a part of that evolution and hopefully made it better in a lot of ways, probably made it worse in a few ways. But I just feel like me being me and me, listen, I was put on this earth with an opportunity to go do something that I love to do. And I was blessed to be able to do it for a long time. And you know, if somebody takes some of that advice and it makes their life better, it was totally worth it.
Can you say who those drivers were that came back and said, I wish I would, it made sense now, the advice?
I'll probably leave that one alone, but I've even had guys, this is funny, I had a driver that's a Cup driver now that is very successful that I remember his rookie year, and I remember just grabbing a hold of him by the neck and being like, listen, you gotta figure this out. And was not well received, right? And it wasn't in malicious whenever I did it, right? I didn't deliver it maliciously. And I'll never forget the day he came back and was like, man, like, I needed that because I was not going down the path I needed to go down. And somebody that is ultra successful now, and it's really fun to watch, you know, what that looks like. And they weren't even a teammate. They were just somebody that I was battling with, you know, week in and week out. And those are cool moments.
Any additional questions for Justin? We'll come back to Bob for a follow-up.
You need longer arms like me.
How do you look at the regular season championship? Do you feel like you have a shot, or do you feel like it's, you know, it's more Connor's to lose? And
no, I mean, it's definitely Connor's to lose, and I don't want to wish bad on him. I mean, as a teammate, listen, at the end of the day, I feel like can he lose the regular season? Like, can he Can third place pass Connor? I don't even know if that's even a possibility.
Mayor's 50 points behind.
Oh, yeah. Extreme circumstance. So
they have the owners.
Yeah. Regardless, yeah, he has the owners. So, I mean, I think for me, right, like, my job is to go out and put ourselves in the best position possible, right? Do everything we can. But I'm not going to wish ill intent on you know, anything for him. As long as a junior motorsports Chevrolet gets the regular season championship, we've won, right? I remember last year at Bristol, I mean, we had it in the bag, and it didn't go our way, and we lost it, right? I've lived that moment on both sides, right? We won it in Vegas a couple of years ago, and we've lost it at Bristol last year, right? I lost it last year, won a championship. I won it in Vegas, didn't make the Final Four. So, you know, I don't know that it's – for me, it's a – the trophy is awesome. Like, I would love to win the trophy again, right? It is a big accolade. But at the same time, I think that sometimes you can get more caught up in winning that and forget the side of what's starting – next week, right? And you know, we go to a lot of great racetracks for us in these playoffs. I have no doubt that we can go there and be successful and have a lot of fun. So I haven't spent a lot of time worrying about it this week because I know that unless something happens, we're kind of where we're at. And that's the only opportunity I got to go and have some fun. Listen, I would much rather win this race than to focus on winning the regular season championship and give that opportunity up. Yeah, I think that damage control with Sam is probably more important to me than going after Connor, right? And look, you know, if I look at Sam, myself, the 21 technically is up there, right? I mean, it's weird because of the lack of playoff points, but I think they still have an owner's points, right? So they still get those. So because of that, right, it's been weird because that's been the top five kind of every week, right? We've raced against each other. You add in some of our other teammates. I think the two's been up there quite a bit. Obviously, the 19 car is always kind of up there. But, you know, we've all battled each other. And we've had a fairly clean battle amongst all of ourselves, right, as far as that goes. And it's been fun this year. It's a significantly different atmosphere in the playoff picture in 2025 than any of the years that I remember. And it's not more difficult or less difficult, or it's not more fun or less fun. It's just different. It's a different feel. And you know, I'll be very interested to see what the playoffs shake out like, because I've said it every year up until this point, but the playoffs have a very unique atmosphere every year. They're always different. And 2025 is crept into the regular season more than ever too. So I think it's going to be very unique in how that transpires.
And we'll wrap here with Reed.
Reed Spencer with NASCAR Wire. Speaking of Sam, what do you think of Haas going to Chevy next year with Hendrick Power?
Is that official? They announced it? I didn't know that. I mean, listen, you know, Sam's been a great teammate, right, up until this point. And, you know, it's been fun to watch kind of their journey and see what they've done. And I think everybody had some question marks at the end of last year, right? What does Haas look like, right? What does that, how do they succeed? What is the end goal, right? And I think that's going to be cool. I'm excited to see them come over to Chevrolet, because I think that, you know, Chevrolet has been a great partner of ours at Junior Motorsports. But listen, we have numbers, right? When you look at the numbers of vehicles in each manufacturer in the sport, Chevrolet obviously has the numbers. But I think there's a lot of strength in numbers. And, you know, different teams bring different mindsets, different mentalities, whether that be on the simulation side, whether that be at track, you know, and as drivers, if their driver lineup stays the same, right, with Sam and Sheldon, which I assume it is, yeah. You know, both of those guys, I mean, Sheldon and I have never been teammates, but we get along really well. We battle hard on the racetrack. We get along really well. Sam's been coming to 4:30 a.m. Run Club with us here lately, right? So, you know, I've been around Sam a lot, whether it be as a teammate or coming to run. So I'm excited to see them come over to Chevrolet. I knew that was talked about. I didn't know if they had that had been official yet, but you know, I think it's gonna be really cool. And obviously, the Hendrick Engine Shop, you know, they've been incredible. They're a lot of fun to deal with because they're they're just racers, right? They strive for perfection. They strive to be the best every week. And you know, I think that it, when you take all of that as a whole, it's important. And you know, they've seen what we've been able to do success wise on the racetrack, and you know, hopefully they can have a lot of the same success.
All right, Justin. Well, thanks for joining us today. Good luck this weekend.
Appreciate it.